The gunfighter and the tenderfoot drifted southwest. They were in no hurry and stopped often. Wolf spent more and more time on the ground now, only occasionally riding along in the pouch on the pack saddle. The fallen ambushers had had about $100 between them. Frank gave that to Jeff, along with a new bill of sale for the horse.
Those old boys won't be needing them, Jeff. First time we come to, I'll sell the other horses. You can have that money. Be a good grub stake for you.
Grub stake? What an interesting word.
Once, just once, Frank gave Jeff a lesson in the art of pistol shooting. He backed off about 10 paces from a huge old stump, carefully handing Jeff the pistol.
Hit it.
Jeff hit everything but the stump.
I think you better concentrate on learning how to use a rifle, Jeff. You don't need to be wearing a pistol. Out here, somebody's liable to call your hand, make you use it.
I think you're right.
Jeff turned out to be a pretty fair hand with a rifle. After a week of daily practice, he could usually hit what he was aiming at. At a small town livery, Frank sold the spare horses and gave Jeff the money.
Hang on to that. We'll sell the guns at the next town.
I'm gonna have a nice reserve of cash.
You'll need it in the gold camps. Things tend to be a mite expensive.
I'm going to hate to part company, Frank. This has been quite a learning experience for me.
Oh, I'll be around, Jeff. Besides, we got a ways to go yet.
I was hoping I'd get to see some wild Indians.
Not many of those still active, Jeff. But believe me, you really don't want to run into any Indians on the warpath.
But you have, right?
A time or two.
Did you fight them?
When I had to. I avoided a fight whenever I could.
You did?
Damn right. Injuns are mean fighters. Once they got their dander up, they wouldn't cut a man any slack.
Where did all the Indians go?
On reservations, mostly. Those that weren't killed or died from disease or starvation. We're in Ute country now. But it's doubtful we'll see any. They're mostly on reservations down in the southwest corner of the territory.
Doesn't seem fair to me. It was their land, wasn't it?
Wasn't anybody's land, Jeff.
What do you mean?
What happened to the Indians that lived back east when the Pilgrims arrived a couple of 100 years ago?
Why, I guess I don't know.
Shoved out of the way. Moved west. Killed off. Died from disease, that's what. Same thing out here. Easterners, some of them, tend to look down their noses at the way Indians were and are treated out here. But they were done the same way back east for the most part.
I guess they were at that. But the west is so, well, violent.
Blown all out of proportion, Jeff. Because Easterners have a short memory. The West is a new land, just like the East was 200 years ago. Those early settlers in America fought for their right to be here and make something of this land.
You're an educated man, Frank. You've done a lot of thinking about a lot of subjects.
Self-taught, Jeff. I got through part of grade school as a kid, that's all.
But you could have been whatever you wanted to be. I know that. You're a very intelligent man. I noticed those books you carry around with you.
But I settled on being a gunfighter.
Well, I didn't really mean it like that.
I'm just kidding you, Jeff.
Oh, all right. Frank?
Yep?
We're running a little low on supplies.
Yeah, we're about a day and a half out of Salida. We'll provision up close to there at a little place I know near some springs. Salida used to be called South Arkansas. Then some folks renamed it. Whole damn area is tough, so stay close and watch your mouth.
Don't you worry about that. I am your silent partner.
Still lots of hangings in that area, especially in Buena Vista. It's a mean judge there. I came through there about 5 years ago, counted 5 bodies swinging out on the edge of town.
You're joking, surely?
Nope. His name's Judge Lynch.
Now I know you're kidding me.
Nope, sure am not. That's his name. There's also quite a number of whorehouses in those towns. One-Eyed Sally's got the biggest one.
You been in them?
Nope, but I've ridden past them a few times. They do quite a business, let me tell you.
Like Judge Lynch?
That's right. But we'll cut south of that town.
Oh?
Yep, I know a shortcut over to Buffalo Pass. Then we'll follow the Sawatch for a ways down to a stage stop and trading post. After that, it really gets into some wild country. You'll see the beauty of the territory. Something you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Wilder than this?
Son, you haven't seen nothing yet.
I've lost all sense of time out here. What is the date?
I think it's November, but I wouldn't take any bets on it.
My word, it'll be Christmas before long.
I reckon so.
You celebrate Christmas, don't you?
No, not in a long time, Jeff.
I always enjoyed the holidays. It's such a wonderful gay time.
You have a family back east?
Oh, yes. My parents, my brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and lots of cousins.
Think you'll go back someday?
Jeff didn't immediately reply, and Frank understood. The West could cast a powerful spell on a man. It could be pure hell on a woman, but many men who traveled out here ended up staying. The vastness of the West could be hypnotic.
I don't know, Frank. If I can make some kind of living out here, I believe I'll stay.
I thought that might be your answer. Doesn't take long for the West to grab hold on a man.
Jeff looked up at the sky.
Sky looks odd.
Looks like snow. Might be a heavy one, too. Or it might blow past. Anyway, we're only a few miles from the spring. We'll hold up there until it blows over. Give the horses some rest. We'll provision up. Maybe get us a bath.
I itch all over.
Lice.
Disgusting. And my clothes are filthy.
Welcome to the trail, Jeff. It ain't so bad during the spring and summer. Man with a bar of soap can get himself a good wash in a creek or river. It gets tough during the cold months. We'll get our clothes washed there, too. Then the hard pull starts.
How far are we from Durango?
A couple of weeks.
The vastness of the West is very nearly overwhelming. For a couple of days after leaving Denver, I saw people, then nothing.
Lots of time for a man to think.
For introspection?
I reckon.
The trading post Frank mentioned was gone. It burned down.
Well, just be damned.
Now what?
I reckon we ride into town after all.
Buena Vista?
No. Salida's closer. About 5 miles east of here, down that road there. And it's a tad calmer. I got a hotel, too. We'll get us a couple of rooms, sleep in real beds.
After we bathe, I hope.
It was mid-afternoon when the pair rode into town. Just before the ride in, Frank put Wolf in the pouch on the pack saddle and told him to stay put. He did take Wolf into the hotel with him. The desk clerk at the hotel got real huffy about Wolf staying in Frank's room until Frank signed the register. The clerk stared at his name for a moment, swallowing hard a couple of times. When the desk clerk could finally speak, he allowed as how it would be just fine for Wolf to stay in Frank's room.
You go on up to the rooms and take Wolf with you. I gotta do a little banking. Won't take long. Then we'll get us a bath and new duds.
Frank, I think I'd better save my money.
Relax, my treat.
Are you sure? I don't know when I'll be able to repay you.
Don't worry about it, Jeff. I assure you I have ample funds.
At the bank, Frank asked to speak to the manager and was shown into his office. There, Frank opened up a canvas and oilskin pouch and took out one of several bank drafts he carried with him.
Cash is for me?
This is for a lot of money, sir. Are you sure you want to carry this much cash with you?
I'm sure.
We'll be happy to honor this draft, of course.
He again looked at the name.
Are you really...
He pointed to the name on the bank draft.
I am in the flesh. You have a problem with that?
Oh, no, sir, not at all. I shall be right back with your money.
Told you it wouldn't take long. You ready for a bath and some new duds?
I am.
Bring Wolf.
Is he gonna get a bath too?
He sure is.
Frank bought them new clothes at a general store. Then they walked over to a barbershop that also advertised hot baths. After Frank finished washing off days of dirt, he dunked Wolf several times in the hot soapy water. They both smelled better, although Wolf didn't seem to appreciate his bath nearly as much as Frank did. All decked out in new clothes and feeling much better, Frank stashed Wolf in the hotel room with a big bowl of stew he'd ordered from the dining room and a wash basin full of water. Then he and Jeff went down to the hotel's dining room for supper. The desk clerk and bank employees had spread the word about Frank Morgan being in town. A crowd gathered in the hotel lobby, including the marshal and all his deputies.
You create more of a stir than the mayor of New York City.
Which is why I try to avoid towns as much as possible. Ignore the people. Let's have something to eat.
After a few minutes of nothing happening, much of the crowd began to drift away, but the marshal and one of his deputies stayed, seated at a table away from Frank and Jeff, drinking coffee and staying ready for trouble. Frank and his new partner ate a tough steak and some undercooked potatoes and overcooked bread and left the dining room, retiring to their rooms.
They should have given us that meal free just for eating it. That was awful.
Sure wasn't anything to write home about. Good night, Jeff. I'll see you in the morning.
Are we pulling out then?
If we're not stuck here by heavy snow. If so, we'll wait it out.
Frank took Wolf outside to do his business, taking the steps down the back way to avoid any gawkers that might still be in the hotel lobby. The night air was cold, but the skies were clear and starry. The clouds had drifted on.
We might get out of here tomorrow, Wolf. I hope.
Back in his room, Frank built a small fire in the stove, wedged a straight-back chair under the doorknob, and went to bed. He was up and moving at 5 in the morning. He took Wolf out for a walk in the alley and found the ground snow-free. It was cold, but not unbearably so. Frank rolled Jeff out of bed.
Let's get the hell out of this town, Jeff.
Ugh, suits me.
We going across the mountains?
Maybe. Depends on the weather. We'll know in a day or two, then we'll decide.
The two men were riding out of town an hour later, Wolf resting in his pouch on the pack saddle. Frank cut south after checking the sky several times. It was flat-looking, had a strangeness to it that Frank didn't like.
I figure we can make it over the pass in a few hours, then we'll pick up the road through the valley. Beats the hell out of being caught in the mountains during a blizzard.
How far is the nearest town?
Day and a half. Maybe 2 days easy riding. There's a stage stop halfway. I know it's still there because the stage is still running. We can make that easy.
They made the stage stop by early evening and got their horses stabled just as the sky began dumping snow. Great big wet flakes that clung to a person's clothing for a few seconds before melting. The stage was there and going to be there for a while, maybe all night. A busted axle. The passengers, four men and two women, were just sitting down to supper when Frank and Jeff walked in.
Howdy, boys. Come on in. Got beef, beans, and biscuits for supper.
Sounds good. Got any coffee ready?
About a gallon over yonder. Help yourself.
Whew. Three more coming in. Better toss some more steaks in a skillet and give the beans another stir. It's got to snowing so hard you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face.
Frank poured himself a cup of coffee and stepped back into the deep shadows of the big room. He fixed Wolf a place in the stable with the horses and fed him with chunks of the steak he and Jeff took from the dining room the previous night. Frank would also take him whatever scraps were left from tonight's supper table. New guests arrived. Frank didn't like the looks of any of the three newcomers. He recognized their type immediately. Trouble hunters. Gun slicks, and probably bounty hunters out to collect the $15,000 that bastard Dutton put on his head.
Promises to be a very interesting evening.
Frank slipped the hammer thong off his .45 just in case.
Find a place to sit, boys, or squat on the floor if you like. I'll have some food ready for you in a little while.
Sounds great to me. Right now, that coffee sure smells good.
Help yourself, there's plenty. Cups hanging from hooks in the kitchen.
The three men dumped their bedrolls and saddlebags on the floor by the door and walked over to the stove in the kitchen just off the main room. Frank was almost hidden in the shadows, and none of the three paid him any mind. Jeff was across the room, sitting on a bench, sipping his coffee in silence. He had sensed something was wrong by Frank's behavior.
Any lone riders come by today?
I haven't seen a soul all day. Of course, I ain't been looking neither.
The four men seated at the long table were concentrated on eating, paying no attention to anything else. The women were picking at their food. The entire group looked very road-weary. The three toughs took off their heavy coats and hung them from pegs. Frank took note the trio were all armed. Each man wore a pistol, tied down. One of them wore his pistol on the left side, butt forward for a cross-draw. Only man Frank ever knew who was fast with a crossdraw was Smoke Jensen. Frank swallowed the last of his coffee and stepped out of the shadows, heading for the pot for another cup, just as the two other toughs walked back into the main room. They stood in silence as Frank poured another cup and then stood with his back against the wall. They also took careful note that Frank held the coffee cup in his left hand. His right hand was near the butt of his .45.
You sure look familiar.
Is that right?
Where are you from?
Here and there.
Well, that don't tell me nothing at all.
Maybe it's none of your business.
The trio exchanged glances at that.
Just trying to be friendly. Gonna be a long night. We ought to try to get along.
Frank sipped his coffee and said nothing. The station master and the stage driver were watching and listening intently, sensing trouble was building. One of the two women was watching, her eyes on Frank. She was young and very pretty, maybe 19 or 20. Heart-shaped face and a pile of dark hair. Her clothing was expensive, and her little hat was about the silliest-looking thing Frank ever saw.
It's crowded in here, boys.
For a fact.
What's that got to do with anything?
You got any pie?
Nope. You just said what there was to eat.
How about some drinking whiskey?
Bar's in the next room. I'll be along to serve you.
Two of the traveling men stood up and walked into the saloon area of the stage stop come general store.
Why don't we go in there and have a friendly drink or two?
Not much of a drinking man.
Frank held up his coffee cup.
This is fine with me.
Good God Almighty. That's Frank Morgan.
All eating and drinking and conversation at the table ceased, and all heads turned to stare at Frank in silence.
Evening, folks. Don't let me disturb your meal. Go right ahead. I'll just stand here, drink my coffee.
I knowed it was him.
Shut up, Gene.
Shut up yourself, Hal. Let's take him.
$15,000, Hal. Think about it.
Not here, Ben. Not now. Too many people.
$15,000? What about $15,000?
See what you started, Ben?
Yeah, boys, tell me about this $15,000. Sounds real interesting. What do I have to do to earn it?
You're a real smart mouth, aren't you, Morgan?
Forget it, Gene.
The hell I will. I just don't like you, Morgan. Come to think of it, I ain't never liked you. I think all them books and such that was writ about you is all lies. I don't think you're a fast draw, and I think you're a damn coward to boot. Now, what do you think about that?
It's nice to know that you can think, but what would you know about books, Gene? You have to be able to read to know anything about books.
I can read writing. I sure can. What are you trying to say, Morgan, that I'm stupid?
Well, yes.
What's going on here? I don't understand any of this.
Shut your mouth, Missy. This is none of your affair.
Well, you certainly don't have any manners, you hooligan.
Oh, be quiet, you old bag.
Old bag!
Frank sipped his coffee and smiled at the exchange. One of the nicely dressed men at the table rose to his feet.
Now see here, you can't talk to Mrs. Overhauser in that manner.
Go to hell.
Overhauser? The hell kind of a name is that?
Are you really the notorious killer, Frank Morgan?
I'll admit to being Frank Morgan, but I'm not a notorious killer.
You certainly don't look like a killer to me.
He ain't nothing. Big mouth is all.
I wasn't speaking to you. I was addressing Mr. Morgan.
Well, la-dee-da. Excuse the hell out of me.
You're excused. Now be quiet.
Say what? Don't you tell me to be quiet, you little piece of fluff.
Don't you dare speak to me in such a manner. I'll slap your face.
And I'll knock you clear into the next room, you big mouth heifer.
You will do no such thing, you thug.
Sit down, fancy pants, before you get called out.
Out where? What are you talking about, sir?
That's it. Everybody just settle down.
I think that's a good idea.
Who cares what you think? I sure as hell don't.
Frank stepped away from the wall and positioned himself to one side of the table, putting the passengers as much out of harm's way as possible. He sensed Gene was working himself up to pull on him.
Hold it. No gunplay in here. You sit down and have something to eat, Gene. There's always tomorrow.
Maybe I don't want to wait until tomorrow. How about you, Morgan?
Too many people in this room, Gene. too much of a risk of innocent people getting hurt.
Then let's go outside.
It's too cold out there, Gene. You ever been shot in real cold weather? No? Well, cold weather makes the wound hurt real bad.
I don't plan on you wounding me, Morgan. Now, what do you think about that?
I don't plan on wounding you either, Gene.
Oh?
No. If you're stupid enough to draw on me, I plan to kill you.
Fuck you, Morgan!
You can cuss me all you like, partner. Words just bounce off me.
Bullets won't, you bastard!
Gene!
Shut up! Damn you, hook and draw, Morgan!
After you, Gene.
Gene grabbed iron. Gene was fast, but not fast enough. The man cleared leather as Frank's bullets tore into him. Frank fired twice, the shots so close together they almost sounded as one. Gene doubled over in shock and pain and grabbed for the edge of a straight-backed chair for support. The chair gave way under his weight and the bounty hunter hit the floor.
Anybody else want to get into this game?
Frank held the .45 in his hand, hammer back. A faint wisp of smoke leaked from the barrel.
Not me, Morgan. But it isn't over. Not by a long shot.
I'm out of it. I want to see about Gene, all right, Morgan?
Go ahead.
Ben knelt down beside his partner for a few seconds, then looked over at Hal.
He's done for.
Kill that son of a bitch for me. Avenge me. Promise me you will.
I'll get him, Gene. I promise you I will.
Oh, I think I'm going to faint.
The older woman put the back of one hand to her forehead.
All this violence is so upsetting.
I sure wish there was some pie for dessert. Pie always settles my stomach after a meal.
You barbarian! How can you think about eating after all this violence?
'Cause I'm still hungry, lady.
Hal and Ben looked around the room. The station master and the driver were standing with shotguns in their hands, the hammers eared back.
No trouble, boys. You have my word on that.
This is the most exciting thing I have ever seen. It's so, well, thrilling.
Somebody drag that body out of here.
Stick him in the shed. He'll keep till morning.
How disgusting.
Mrs. Overhauser looked at the younger woman.
And you're just awful, thinking any of this was thrilling.
Oh, shut up, lady. Come on, Hal. Help me with Gene. We'll tote him outside.
Frank stood quietly and reloaded while Gene's buddies carried him outside. He tossed the brass empties into a trash barrel and walked over to the coffee pot, pouring another cup. Then he sat down on a bench.
Are you going to have any supper, Mr. Morgan?
I'll probably have a bite after a while.
I'll get a mop and clean up the mess on the floor.
I still feel faint. I need to lie down and collect myself.
Well, pick a spot on the floor, lady. This ain't no hotel.
I shall certainly post a letter of grievance to the owners of this stage line. The treatment I'm receiving is deplorable.
Mr. Morgan, I have aspirations of becoming a writer. I would like to talk with you at some future point, with your permission, of course.
Not one to be rude, Frank reluctantly nodded his head in agreement. Then he remembered the writer Louis Pettigrew, the little Boston author of all those ridiculous dime novels about him, and Frank suppressed a shudder. Louis promised to follow him no matter where he went and write his life's story. God, what if Frank had two writers following him around? He looked again at the young woman with her fine clothing and little hat. No way could this pretty little thing manage to follow him around during his wanderings.
Now, just where do you think you're going, Colleen?
To sit beside Mr. Morgan.
Oh, no. You most certainly will do no such thing. Why, the man is a craven killer.
Stuff and nonsense, Martha. The man protected himself, that's all.
You come back here.
Colleen walked over and sat down beside Frank.
Do you mind, Mr. Morgan?
Not at all, miss.
I've read all the books about you and Mr. McAllister and the mysterious gunfighter called Smoke Jensen. Do you know any of those men, Mr. Morgan?
Jensen or Falcon McAllister?
Either one.
Know both of them. New Falcon. He's dead now. Killed by ambush. Buried beside his wife overlooking McAllister's valley.
But Jensen is still alive, isn't he?
Last I heard he was.
Who is that handsome young man with you, sir?
Aha. Now Frank understood. She had eyes for Jeff. This was good. Maybe he could get these two hooked up and be shut of both of them.
It's Jeff Barton. He's from New York City.
Are you all right over there, Colleen?
Of course I'm all right, Martha. You're looking right at me.
Who's that woman? Kenny yours?
Oh, no. That's Mrs. Martha Overhauser. She's a recent widow. Her husband died suddenly.
I'm sure he's resting much better now.
That comment blew right past Colleen.
She has a brother out in California. That's where she's going.
This way? Last time I checked, California was west of Denver, not south.
Oh, you silly. No. She has a friend in Durango. She's going to visit her for a time. They haven't seen each other in years.
I see.
They were friends in finishing school. Back in Massachusetts, she's looking forward to seeing Mrs. Tremaine.
Frank had just taken a sip of coffee and almost choked on it.
Mrs. Tremaine?
Yes, Paulette Tremaine.
Does your friend know what Mrs. Tremaine does for a living?
I don't really know. She told me that Paulette's husband died about 15 years ago, and about 5 years ago she moved to Durango and is operating a very successful business there.
Paulette Tremaine got run out of Denver about 5 years ago, Frank recalled, hiding his smile. Mrs. Martha Overhauser was in for one hell of a surprise, for Paulette operated one of the West's most notorious whorehouses and had for just about 15 years. After she wore out her welcome, among other things, in Denver, she moved her entire operation to Durango. Colleen was right about Paulette's husband dying. He sure did that. She shot him 5 times after she caught him stark naked with another woman in their fine home in the fashionable section of Denver. Paulette now employed about 20 soiled doves. Something for everyone's tastes, so the story went.
Martha is a big supporter of the temperance movement, Mr. Morgan. She is going to spread the word about the evils of drinking here in the West.
Oh?
Yes, and that's not all.
I was afraid of that.
Martha is active in a movement that would give women the vote.
Hal and Ben walked back into the room.
We put Jean in a shed. Don't seem decent, though. Me and Jean been together for a long time.
He won't mind being in the shed.
Ben looked at him, an ugly expression on his face.
Who the hell asked you?
The traveling man shrugged his shoulders and looked away. Mrs. Overhauser stood up and walked over to Colleen. She held out a hand.
Come, Colleen. I found us a place to sleep for tonight. One that will provide some privacy.
She gave Frank a very dirty look.
Go on, Colleen.
Though Frank spoke to Colleen, his eyes did not leave Ben's face.
I think there's going to be some more trouble in here.
But...
Go on. Jeff, come escort the ladies out of here.
The traveling men, still seated at the table, rose and went into the small bar area of the stage stop. Frank stood up to face the remaining bounty hunters.
You boys just won't let alone.
You can't get both of us, Morgan. Just ain't no way that's possible.
Now, wait a minute here.
The station master reached for his shotgun.
You touch that scattergun and you're dead, mister.
Just back off and mind your own business.
What the hell are you talking about? This place is my business.
And this is our business. That gunslinger standing right there.
Yeah. Me and Hal done talked it over. Jean ain't gonna die for nothing.
Ben's eyes locked on Frank.
Me and him was closest brothers. So it's root hog or die time. You understand that, Morgan?
I hear ya.
We're gonna make sure them women is safe away from stray bullets. I don't give a damn about the men. See to that.
Hal gestured to the driver and the station master, keeping his eyes on Frank.
Go on, make yourselves useful.
You ready, Morgan?
Do I have a choice?
Not none at all.
Lots of lead gonna fly in this building, Ben. There are a lot of people in here.
I done told them to hunt a hole. They don't, that there ain't no worry of mine.
You're all heart, Ben.
Huh?
Frank watched Hal edge a few steps to his left.
Stand still, bounty hunter.
I got a better idea, Morgan. Draw!
Both manhunters grabbed iron. Frank drew, fired, and jumped to one side all in one smooth movement. His first shot hit Hal in the shoulder and knocked the bounty hunter back. Frank hit the floor just as he fired again. The impact with the floor threw his aim off, and his bullet struck Ben in the hip, and the man collapsed to the floor.
God damn it! Would you women be
He crawled to his feet and banged a shot in Frank's direction, the bullet thudding into the wall behind where Frank was kneeling on the floor. Frank snapped off around just as Hal dropped to the floor. The bullet knocked a chunk out of the wall.
You horsed it, Morgan!
Ben fired, his round missing Frank by several feet. Frank returned the fire and did not miss. Ben was slammed backward, a hole in the center of his forehead, his eyes wide open, a startled expression on his face. Hal staggered to his feet, and this time Frank's aim was on the mark. Hal fell back against the wall, his heart shattered. He slid to the floor, his pistol falling from suddenly dead fingers. Frank rose wearily to his feet and reloaded as the big room began filling with people.
Damnedest thing I ever seen.
I damn sure never seen nothing like it.
This is terrible. I shall never ride this stage line again.
That's the best news I've heard in weeks. You ain't done nothing but moan and complain all the way.
Don't you speak to me in that tone of voice, you lout.
Come on. I'll help you carry the bodies out to the shed.
Why don't you stay out there with them, the both of you?
Ain't she a sight to behold?
Frank said nothing, just shook his head. Frank and the driver stored the bodies in the shed.
They just might stay here for several months, you know. They get good and froze, they'll keep till spring.
That'll be a lovely sight for sure.
Won't it, though?
You want their guns?
Nah. I got me a good pistol and a fine rifle I carry on my runs. Got several more of each at the house. Don't need no more. Thanks for offering.
I'll help you fix that axle come daylight.
That's good of you, Mr. Morgan. I'll take you up on that, too.
I'll be around.
After the driver left, Frank went through the pockets of the manhunters. He found some cash and would give that to Jeff. He took their guns, carried them back into the stage stop, and hung the belts on pegs.
How many men does that make you've shot dead, Mr. Gunfighter?
Frank did not reply. He had just about all he was going to take of Mrs. Overhauser.
That's not fair, Martha. All Mr. Morgan did was defend himself. He didn't start the trouble.
Frank poured a fresh cup of coffee and sat down at the table. He was suddenly very tired.
You want me to fix you a plate of food?
Not now, miss. I'll maybe get something later. But thank you.
Well, I'm going to try to get some rest. Good night.
Night, miss.
Frank sat at the table for a long time, drinking coffee. The only way he could get the bounty on him lifted was to get rid of Lawyer Dutton. But Frank doubted Dutton would ever again come west of the Mississippi. So that left him...
living with a $15,000 bounty on my head.
He finished his coffee and looked around him. People were sleeping all over the station. Frank went into the kitchen and found some scraps of food and took them outside for Wolf. After checking on the horses and making certain Wolf's water bucket was full, he returned to the station and spread his blankets on the floor and went to sleep. Frank was the first one up. He quietly built up the fire in the kitchen stove and filled up the big coffee pot with water. While he waited for the water to boil, he got a fire going in the fireplace. He went outside, got Wolf, and brought him into the station. He fed the animal some cold biscuits he found, gave him some water, and Wolf promptly curled up in a corner and went to sleep. Colleen watched Frank from the darkness of the room.
Good morning, Colleen.
You take good care of that dog.
People who abuse animals have a serious flaw. At least that's my opinion.
And you're an educated man, too.
Not really. I just like to read.
Is that the exception or the rule in the West?
For men who can read, I think it's pretty much the rule. For years, we were hungry for news out here. Men would pass newspapers around till they were worn out. News might be weeks or months old, but it was still news.
Jeff told me you were going to Durango.
That's the plan.
Then we might see each other again in the town.
Could be. It isn't a city by any means.
Mr. Morgan, what exactly do you do for a living?
I try to stay alive, miss.
Then you're a man of some means.
I suppose you could say that.
Forgive my questions, Mr. Morgan, but I am the curious type.
A person can't learn anything except by listening and asking questions, miss.
Colleen, please.
All right.
Does Durango have a newspaper, Mr. Morgan?
Frank.
All right. Frank.
I don't know about any newspaper. Might have a weekly, though. Why?
I told you. I want to be a writer. I would like to apply for a job.
A woman reporter? Never heard such a thing. Men folks might not take too kindly to that.
Women are on the move in this nation, Frank. You men better get used to it.
I reckon so, Colleen.
Frank helped the driver and station master replace the broken axle. The stage pulled out just before 10 o'clock. With the heavy snowstorm past, the temperature warmed up. Most of the snow melted where the rays of the sun could touch it.
I told Colleen I'd try to find her when we got to Durango.
Oh?
Yes, she's a very sweet young lady.
Really? I didn't notice.
You're getting old, Frank.
That must be it. Come on.
Where are we going?
To bury Jean, Hal, and Ben.
What about their horses?
We'll take them with us. Sell them along the way.
We're going over the mountains?
No, too risky this time of year. That snowstorm might be a sign of a really bad storm coming. We'll stay with the roads. It's longer, but safer.
A harbinger.
A what?
A sign of things to come. Like, a harbinger of doom.
Right. I'll have to remember that. A harbinger of doom. Sounds grim.
It usually is.
The men got shovels out of the shed and buried the bodies of the three manhunters about 100 yards behind the stage stop. Frank and Jeff lined the outside of their graves with rocks.
That's about all we can do, I reckon. Come on, let's get packed up and hit the trail.
3 days of steady riding brought the men to the center of the San Luis Valley. There, Frank headed them west, and they stopped at midday in a small settlement west of Alamosa.
We'll sell these horses and gear here.
I want another hot bath.
You just had one a few days ago.
Jeff looked at his saddle partner to see if he was kidding.
You're no rose yourself, Frank. Wolf's the cleanest of us all.
I won't argue that.
Fine-looking horses, mister. And the saddles are in good shape, too. I run an honest livery. Now, how do I know them animals ain't stolen?
Frank stared at the man for a few seconds. The livery man suddenly became edgy.
But I'm sure they ain't.
Mister, my name is Frank Morgan. I've never stole anything in my life. Is that good enough for you?
Frank Morgan.
The livery man licked very dry lips.
Yeah, I seen your picture a bunch of times. That's who you is for a fact.
How much for the horses and gear?
The livery man quickly named a very fair price, and Frank accepted it.
You got a good deal.
Frank made out a bill of sale.
I expect I did. What happened to the original owners?
They're in the ground.
I figured as much. You didn't cut them no slack, huh?
They didn't cut themselves any.
You staying in town long, Mr. Morgan?
Just long enough to have a bath and buy some things.
Good. Bathhouse is over yonder. Have a good wash and do come back sometime.
Sarcastic fellow.
Story of my life, Jeff. Stopped letting it bother me years ago. But he offered us a good price for the horses and gear. Money's yours. You'll have a nice reserve of money to get you started in something in Durango.
It was my lucky day when I ran into you, Frank.
Don't be too sure. Trip ain't over yet.
Frank and Jeff did not leave immediately after their bath. Instead, they bought rooms at the town's only hotel. The town marshal showed up at Frank's door within 10 minutes after the men signed in. He wasn't taking any chances with Frank Morgan. He was carrying a Greener, a double-barreled sawed-off shotgun.
Relax, Marshal. I'm not trouble hunting in your town.
The marshal eyeballed him suspiciously.
Trouble follows you, Morgan. What are you doing here?
Getting tired of questions, for one thing.
Part of my job is asking questions, so I'll ask it again. What are you doing in this town?
Well, I had me a bath. Now I'm gonna go out, get me a bite to eat. Then I'm gonna go to bed and get a good night's sleep.
The marshal stared at him for a moment.
Morgan, there's a bounty on your head. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Then I'll tell you something else. There are two gun slicks in town, rode in this morning. I've heard of them both. Their guns are for hire, and they aren't above killing an innocent man for a big enough bounty. I hear the bounty on you is $15,000.
That's right.
You're gonna have every manhunter west of the Mississippi River after you, Morgan.
Probably.
I don't want any showdowns in my town.
I hope there won't be any, Marshal, but I intend to have supper and then spend the night in your town. I hope to do all that peacefully, but if you got some trouble hunters here looking to brace me, that's their problem, not mine.
Well, I've done all I can under the law. You've been warned, Morgan.
Indeed I have.
Frank took Wolf out back of the hotel for a walk, then returned to the room and fed him. Wolf ate, and then lay down on the rug beside the bed and went to sleep. Shadows were lengthening when Frank and Jeff stepped outside to stand on the covered porch of the hotel.
Fellow in the lobby told me that cafe across the street serves a good meal. You hungry?
I sure am.
There are two men watching us real hard from down the street.
I see them.
Trouble?
Probably. We'll see. Those are more than likely the two gun slicks the marshal mentioned. It's a free country. They can stare at us if they like. Right now, let's go get some supper.
After a supper of beef, beans, potatoes, hot bread, a big wedge of pie, and a pot of coffee, Frank and Jeff paused on the boardwalk. Frank rolled a smoke and stared for a moment into the gloom of early evening. Jeff patted his stomach.
Oh, that was good. Can I borrow one of your books and read for a while?
Help yourself, Jeff. I'm gonna walk over to the saloon and listen to the talk.
Frank, those trouble hunters will probably be waiting for you.
Probably so. But I don't live my life for other people. I do what I damn well please to do, when I damn well please to do it.
Frank pushed open the door and stepped into the warm and smoky saloon. A blast of cold air entered with him, and a number of heads turned as the air hit them. Most turned back to their cards, conversation, or drinks. A few did not. Among those watching Frank were two tough-looking men standing at the end of the bar and two young men seated at a table. Frank saw one of the young men mouth Morgan to the other.
Damn, I can handle the two manhunters. I didn't count on the two punks.
Maybe there were nothing but a couple of loudmouths, but Frank doubted it. He had a strong feeling the two young men were hunting a reputation. Frank walked slowly to the nearest spot at the bar and waited for the very reluctant bartender to walk over. Frank finally called for a beer.
Barkeep, beer, please.
Just wait your turn, Morgan. You ain't nothing special around here.
Frank ignored the punk.
You hear me, old man?
I think he's deep.
Frank sipped his beer and remained silent. Frank cut his eyes and watched as the town marshal walked in and stepped to one side, staying in the shadows close to the front door. No one in the big room seemed to notice as the marshal remained silent and watchful. The two bounty hunters at the far end of the bar watched Frank, but made no hostile moves. The older of the two seemed slightly amused at the antics of the loud-mouthed young men. Frank rolled a cigarette and popped a match into flame with his left hand. His right hand remained a few inches from the butt of his .45 as the younger bounty hunter called out to him.
You're a long way from home, Morgan.
Frank looked at him but said nothing.
I heard he turned yeller, hung up his guns, and was squatting in a shack up north of here.
Shut up, Max, before your butt overloads your mouth.
I ain't broke no laws, Marshal. You ain't got no call to come down on me.
I'm trying to save your life.
From this old wore-out, gray-headed has-been? Don't make me laugh.
You hear me, old man?
Suit yourselves, boys. You've been warned.
The older of the bounty hunters moved a few feet from his partner, stepping from the bar.
You're gonna sling shit, boys. The outhouse is through that door behind you.
Shut up.
Frank waited.
Morgan. Look at me, Morgan.
Frank cut his eyes.
I'm thinking it's time for me to call your reputation.
Frank smiled at that. Using his left hand, he raised his beer mug and took a sip.
Did you hear me, Morgan?
Everyone in the room did.
Well?
Well what?
What are you gonna do about it, damn you?
Nothing.
You're a coward, Morgan.
And you're a fool, whoever you are.
Huh?
And hard of hearing, too.
The young man the marshal had called Max stood.
I think I'll just buy into this game.
This is no game, boy. I advise you to sit down and think about that.
I don't take no orders from you, Morgan.
Suit yourself, boy. It's your life.
He cut his eyes to the manhunter.
What's your name?
Phil. My buddy's name's Ned. Why?
Something has to be carved on your grave marker. Or markers.
You smart-ass son of a bitchin' old fart of a geezer.
He stepped further away from the bar, his hand hovering near the butt of his pistol.
You ready, Morgan?
For what, Phil?
Damn you, Morgan, you know what.
Tell me, my memory's getting real bad in my old age.
What does it take to make you fight, Morgan?
Hell, I didn't come in here looking for a fight. I came in here for a quiet drink and some intelligent conversation. I found my drink. I'm still looking for intelligent conversation.
Phil thought about that for a few seconds.
Are you calling me stupid, Morgan?
Well, now that you mention it, I guess your mental capacity resides in the general vicinity of that description.
Shit! You sorry piece of coyote crap, Morgan! I don't need to take that kind of talk from nobody!
Well, Phil, old partner, I guess you'll have to take it. Because if you pull on me, I'm gonna kill you. And that's the way it is.
Take it outside, boys!
Too cold out there. Wind is picking up. It's mighty harsh. I like it in here.
Well, now I reckon you've made it clear where you stand, Morgan. You've threatened to kill me. I've got to pick up the challenge.
Only if you're a fool.
By God, I wouldn't take that insult from nobody.
Max stepped away from the table. Frank stepped away from the bar. There was little time left for conversation.
I'm not talking to you, boy. You best sit your butt back down in that chair and be quiet.
I don't take no orders from you neither, old man. You hear that?
Yeah, I heard it, kid.
Frank did not take his eyes off Phil.
I'm calling you, Morgan.
Your mama's calling you, boy. Was I you, I'd think about that.
To hell with my mama and to hell with you.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself for saying that about your mother.
I've had all this crap I'm gonna take. Draw, Morgan.
Max went for his gun. Frank's shot was perfectly placed, striking the young man in the right shoulder and knocking him back. The pistol slipped from his suddenly numb hand. Max stumbled into a table and put his left hand out for support. The table tilted under his weight and slid out from under him. Max hit the floor and lay there, groaning in pain. Frank stepped to one side and pumped two rounds into Phil, who dragged iron just a second behind Max's unsuccessful effort. Phil staggered backward and tried to lift his .45. His right arm refused to comply with his brain's wishes. Phil squeezed the trigger and the hammer fell. The shot blew off the front part of his right foot. Ned held up both hands.
I'm out of this!
The young man seated with Max followed suit.
Don't shoot, Morgan. I ain't having none of this.
You bastard!
Phil's hands held his perforated belly.
You done killed me!
The barkeep peered over the counter at Phil's ruined foot.
For sure he's gonna save on boots from now on.
Frank slid his .45 back into leather and waited.
That's it.
The marshal stepped out of the shadows and walked toward the fallen Max.
Everybody stand easy.
I'll get the doc.
If he's sober, that is.
Do that. Drag him over here if he's drunk.
Dryness in his throat. He motioned for the barkeep to refill it.
Is it getting dark? I can't see too well no more.
Frank took a sip of his freshly pulled beer and said nothing.
Oh, Lordy, I'm hurting!
Good. Maybe it'll make you think the next time you want to drag iron against someone.
I hate you, Morgan.
I'm broken-hearted, son.
You farts think this is funny? Damn you all to hell!
Don't nobody care about me? I'm gonna die. Don't nobody give a damn.
You got that right. You got my floor all messed up.
The town's doctor came in. He appeared sober, but Frank could tell the man was a boozer. His nose was red as a beet and spider-webbed with broken veins. He knelt down beside Max and ripped open his shirt.
Sit him up.
The doctor looked at the exit wound in the young man's back.
He'll live.
Is that all you got to say? Oh, give me something for the pain.
Later. You can stand it, boy. Hell, the way you've been strutting around town, I guessed you were tough as wang leather.
I'm tough, Doc, but I hurt like thunder.
You'll make it.
The doc moved over to Phil and checked his wounds.
I'm done for, ain't I, Doc?
You sure are.
Well, hell, Doc. You don't have to say it like that.
Well, how else is there to say it? You've taken your last ride. You're not long for this world. You're gonna croak. Is that better?
Hell no.
You want me to get a preacher?
Why?
To help you make your peace with the Almighty.
I don't need no sky talker. I want you to dig these bullets out and get me well.
Your lung shot, fella. And it looks like the other bullet poked a hole in your gizzard.
You ain't much help, Doc.
I don't have a lot to work with, fella. Are you in a lot of pain?
Hell yes!
The doctor reached into his bag and hauled out a bottle of laudanum.
Give me a spoon.
Clean one?
Doesn't make any difference.
Oh, Lord!
Jeff walked into the saloon with a group of other curious citizens and hurried over to Frank.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, Jeff. How's Wolf?
Sleeping. These the bounty hunters?
One of them. The other one is a kid with a big mouth.
I heard the shooting. A deputy wouldn't let us in. Kept us outside for several minutes.
Can I put my arms down now?
Put your arms down and get the hell out of town. Right now.
Man, it's freezing out there. My horse is tired. Hell, I ain't done nothing. Besides, I got to see about getting my buddy buried.
I ain't dead yet. God damn it.
You will be for long. I've done all I can do.
You ain't done nothing.
It's still all I can do.
Phil focused his eyes on Morgan, standing at the bar.
I hope you get gunshot, Drifter. I hope you die hard, you bastard.
Drifter?
That's what someone's taken to call him, Frank Morgan.
The doctor looked at Frank.
Are you really Frank Morgan?
Yeah.
I've been reading about you in an Eastern newspaper I get sent out here.
From Boston?
Yes. How did you know?
Articles written by Lewis Pettigrew.
That's the man's name.
Don't believe everything you read.
Frank met the marshal's steady gaze.
You through with me?
I sure as hell hope so.
Frank drained his beer mug.
Come on, Jeff. Let's get back to the hotel.
Morgan, I want you out of town come daylight.
We'll be gone.
What about me?
You'll be gone, too.
You about the sorriest damn doctor I ever seen.
Feel free to mention that to God or Lucifer.
Frank and Jeff were saddled up and ready to ride out just after dawn the next morning. Frank stepped out of the barn into the daylight for a look around. The first person he saw standing in the middle of the street was Ned.
You, Morgan! My partner Phil just died!
He brought it on himself.
He'll soon be cold in the ground and you're walking around! That don't seem right to me!
Seems fine to me.
You're a smart-aleck bastard, Morgan! Making light of my partner's dying!
I'm riding out, Ned, leaving town, so get out of the way. I'm not looking for trouble.
I'm fixing to give you more trouble than you can handle, Morgan!
I didn't want to fight last night, and I don't want to fight now, Ned.
I do!
The marshal stepped out of a cafe and stood under the awning, listening. Listening and watching, but making no attempt to interfere. He just finished breakfast and leaned against a support post, picking his teeth.
Go on with your life, Ned. Go away and live to be an old man. Don't prod me anymore.
Can't do that, Morgan. It's the code.
The code? What damn code? There's no code. Hell, there ain't even guidelines.
Me and Phil's? We promised to avenge each other if something was to happen.
Ned took a couple of steps closer, his right hand close to the butt of his pistol.
Don't do this, Ned. I'm telling you, man, it ain't worth it.
It's got to be, Morgan. I know Phil would have done the same for me.
Morgan quickly cut his eyes toward the marshal, but he knew the marshal would not interfere. The West was slowly civilizing, courtrooms and law books more and more replacing justice at the end of a gun. In many places, legal words and phrases filled the air instead of gun smoke. But this town was still the old West, where men settled quarrels with guns.
I can shoot him from here.
Jeff stood in the door of the livery, holding a rifle.
Stay out of it. I hope you never have to kill a man.
I'm here if you need me.
All right.
Who are you talking to, Morgan?
The ghosts of dead bounty hunters.
Huh?
I'm getting weary of this, Ned. Trying to ride out, and you're standing in my way.
One way to move me, Morgan. And you know what that is.
I guess that's the way it has to be.
The marshal tossed his toothpick into the street and hitched at his gun belt.
You stay out of this, Marshal. This ain't none of your affair.
Ned took a couple more steps toward Frank.
I'll kill you where you stand, Morgan. Fucking draw, you son of a bitch.
After you, Ned.
Ned's right hand hovered over the butt of his pistol.
Having second thoughts, Ned? I would, were I you.
You ain't me!
For a fact. Ned?
What?
You got enough money on you to pay for your burying?
Hell with you, Morgan! I'm gonna have plenty of money once you're down!
Think about it, man. Walk away and live.
I got a better idea, Morgan! Draw!
Ned was knocked to the ground when Frank's bullet slammed into the bounty hunter's hip, exactly where Frank intended the .45 caliber slug to strike. Ned lost his grip on his pistol. The marshal was in the center of the street before Ned could grab it. He kicked the gun away.
It's over, mister. The drifter let you live. Be thankful and let it go.
I'll kill him someday.
You're a fool.
Jeff led the horses outside, and Frank mounted up. Wolf was in his pouch on the side of the pack animal, only his head poking out of the pouch, safe and comfortable, taking in all the sights.
I'll kill you someday, Drifter!
Frank ignored the threat and lifted a hand in farewell to the marshal.
Good luck, Drifter!
I need me a doctor! And get me somebody besides that damn crack that fumbled around and let Phil die, you hear me? I'ma kill you, Morgan! Damn you!
Frank and Jeff rode out of town without looking back. Jeff did not say anything about the daybreak shooting. Frank never mentioned it. But for several hours after riding out of the town, Jeff looked often over his shoulder, checking their back trail.
Hey there, cowboy! You want to show me how to ride bareback?
In the mid-1880s, Durango was a rip-roaring, wide-open town, with saloons operating 24 hours a day and shady ladies offering their favors quite openly.
Oh my God.
Frank and Jeff reined up on the outskirts of the mining town, and Jeff got his first close-up look at Durango.
Are those men lying in the street dead?
No, just drunk and passed out. Come on, let's stable our horses and check this place out.
I would like to have a bath. As a matter of fact, both of us could use a bath.
You think you might run into Colleen?
Wolf smells better than we do.
It'd be my luck to run into Martha Overhauser. Giddy up.
They reined up in front of the nearest livery. Durango was in its heyday and growing. But the growing pains would ease up a lot over the next few years. By the early 1900s, Durango had fallen on hard times as the mines began to play out. The first thing Frank noticed was a freshly painted sign hanging outside a new building, the Henson Company.
The boy sure doesn't let any grass grow under his feet when it comes to business.
Then Frank smiled secretly, thinking,
the more money you make, son, the more money I make.
The thought amused him.
You have a funny look on your face, Frank. Kind of like the cat who licked up the cream.
Nothing important, Jeff. Come on, let's find us a place in one of the hotels.
And if we can't?
Find us a shack outside of town and live there.